Very, very exciting stuff.
Very, very.
Yes. Welcome back to What Happened to Us with Nate, Sam, and Hugh. Sam might be joining us today. Who knows? We're going a little later than normal. But we'll see.
Yes. Yeah. Sounds good. Yes.
Okay. For the listeners out there. Go ahead.
How are you? We survived the eclipse.
Survived the eclipse. Well, the rapture didn't happen, I guess, because
It didn't happen. It didn't happen to you. It's possible. Have you checked in on everybody else? Because there could be some people missing.
I didn't see anyone floating away. But I did hear about a joke that someone filled up a bunch of sex dolls with helium to release them during the.
That's funny.
The eclipse.
That's good.
So. But
you guys didn't get really. I mean, L.A., California didn't really get. It wasn't much. Right?
It wasn't. It was enough. But I didn't even go outside to even bother with it. To be honest with you,
we had a 99% coverage.
Oh.
So you know that if you I'm sure everybody's seen it, that path that across the United States, right, of the eclipse, it kind of goes southwest, northeast. St. Louis wasn't directly in the path, but was close enough that we got 99%.
So that must have been a dark little 5 minutes situation there.
Yeah, it was weird. I was driving home from the mall, and the streets were eerily quiet, like creepy quiet. In terms of just cars, no cars. And as I was driving, you could see groups of people on the sides of the road, like outside stores, outside gas stations, you know, businesses of any kind, like groups of people just all like looking up, you know, they had their special glasses on. Yeah. They're all looking up. So it had a very rapture-y feeling to it. Like it was eerie, you know, just driving down and seeing all these groups staring at the sky.
And just had that weird eerie vibe of like,
yeah. And it got dark, not black dark, like pitch black, but it got dark, like dusk dark, which was eerie in the middle of not even in the middle of the day. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but it wasn't, you know, it didn't look any different than when it's getting dark in the evening. You know, it just so happened to be in the middle of the day.
Right.
So, you know, it was weird, but I didn't feel the need to look at it. You know, it was, and if, like you said, 4 minutes later, 5 minutes later, it got bright again. I mean, I guess it's cool, but it doesn't. I really don't understand the people that traveled across states to go. You know, I've seen people. There were like entire festivals dedicated to it. You know, there's one down in Texas. It was like a 4-day music festival that was supposed to culminate with the eclipse.
It ended up getting canceled.
Yeah, I thought it got canceled because of bad weather.
Right.
And there were a lot of cases of bad weather across the country where like cloudy storms, which that sucks. But, you know, I mean, I just don't understand that, especially for 4 minutes of darkness.
People,
it wasn't even like
really weird. And it's like, oh, this once in a lifetime. I'm like, I don't know how many eclipses have happened in my lifetime, but it's been more than one.
Well, we've had lunar eclipses. I mean, the 17, that was not as full, but you know, the one where Trump infamously decided to look at the sky. That wasn't as big as this one, and I think I could be wrong, but I think I saw that the next one is in 44 years, I believe.
Right.
But again, yeah, I mean, I guess if, you know, you're into astrology, you're into some stuff. I don't know. Maybe it means more to you. To me, it was an odd 5 minutes. And it was creepily, not even just the streets were empty. There was a weird silence because they said, you know, they said animals are aware of it. So you birds were kind of, you know, it was just an odd, creepy silence. They say that, I actually was listening to a podcast this morning that had an animal expert on, talking about it, and they said it does confuse animals because they get like a weird jet lag because the animals are not expecting it to get dark. So animals do act unusual. You know, they act like something. Dogs get very anxious because they're like, what's going on? Birds kind of get weird. Crickets start chirping but then stop because it's, you know, that it's like they chirp when it gets dark but then they stop. It's just, it's odd. It's, you know, whatever. It is weird that it, you know, it fell on Rex Manning Day, which is one of my favorite holidays.
I was like, I don't know how you remember that one all the like.
Sam usually reminds me. To be honest with you, the thing that I saw that I did not appreciate, just because it occurred to me that the Rex Manning Day thing, you know, I posted about it.
Right.
We're getting to the point where that joke might be so far removed that the younger folks probably don't get it.
Oh, they definitely don't get it, dude.
Empire next year will be 30 years old.
Yeah, 30 years old.
I know that because made me look at it is, and I posted about this earlier this week, is that somebody brought it to my attention that Reality Bites this year is 30 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, so then when the Rex Manning thing happened on Monday, I just thought, I was like, okay, so when did Empire Records come out? And I was like, 95. God damn it. Well, so that is a 30-year-old reference now. So younger people will have no idea what Rex Manning Day is.
I saw something on Twitter the other day where I was like, that's just depressing. It was a feed of like, this person does music, and it's like, I look for music so you don't have to. And the song they had chosen was from Tattoo. You know, their hit.
Oh God, all the things she does. It's all the something things. Yeah, right. Yeah, I remember that.
But it was just like,
where they were going for like a quasi lesbian.
Oh, they're
like,
and they're very girl. Anti they're Russian. That now. Yeah,
they were Russian.
Yes.
Yeah, they were like schoolgirl outfits.
Oh yeah.
Like kind of very similar to what Britney Spears wore in the "Hit Me, Baby, One More Time" video.
Yeah, but they fully went into it though. Like.
Yeah. And it was. I don't think they had another single besides the "All the Things."
They had two hits, I believe.
Did they?
Yeah, "All the Things She Said" was.
I knew that one.
But it was just kind of funny where I was just like, and it was like a video of them singing, and I'm like, my God, I like, you know, it's, you hear the band, you know who I'm talking about for the most part, if you're of a certain age, because they were everywhere for a while for that.
I felt
O2.
Was that when it was? I was going to ask when exactly it was. I felt it was a Jeopardy clue answer. I always get confused with Jeopardy if you're supposed to say it's the answer or the question, because the reverse.
The answer.
Yeah. But the answer or the clue, the answer was Chumbawamba.
Oh.
It was like I don't remember what the answer was. It was like 90s act tub thumping. It was something where the answer was Chumbawamba, and that is a really hard one to explain to like the younger folks. Like, how do you explain Chumbawamba?
No, you don't,
because they were like a novelty act that wasn't really a novelty act, because it was, that's a legit good song, that's a banger of a song, but they never really did anything else. I think it was like a side project for those guys, because they were producers involved in something else, which actually happened a lot of from that era. Like, I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you remember the band Garbage.
Oh yeah.
But Garbage was a side project for a bunch of all the guys in Garbage were producers,
right?
And they just decided to get in the studio and like, hey, let's form a band, we'll get Shirley Manson, let's just do this. So it was like a side project for them, but they ended up becoming like a big, big, big act. But yeah, I mean, so just seeing Chumbawamba, and again, like that, or trying to explain Mambo Number 5, or just, there were so many weird late 90s, early 2000s acts that there were one hit wonders that just, a friend of the show, a friend, Andrea, college friend, UCLA. What up, Andrea? She showed me the other day that I think it's on Amazon Music. There is a station that's dedicated to one hit wonders, which is genius. Absolutely genius. I would listen to that all day. Did not know it existed. The reason she brought it up to my attention was because the song she was listening to at the time was Teenage Dirtbag
by the band
Weenus.
Yes, Weenus, yes.
And it was, she brought it to my, I wish Sam was here because she'll know. I can't recall what movie, it was in one, like a teen rom-com.
It was, it was Jason Biggs.
Loser? Was it Loser?
It was Loser, yes.
The one with Mila Kunis, Mina Savari.
Mina Savari. Yes.
You're absolutely right. But oddly enough, that's not the one she referenced, but you are right. It was in that. Sorry.
No.
Filibuster. Oh, the one she said was, it was on the Dawson's Creek soundtrack. She sent it to me because do you remember back in the day of that era, like TV shows used to release soundtracks.
Oh, yes.
On CD.
Yep.
There was Dawson's Creek volume 1, 2, and I think they got to a third one. I had all of those. I had Felicity volume 1 and 2 soundtrack. The OC released five soundtracks because those shows, Scrubs, those shows were so well known for their music because those shows had great music.
Absolutely. I
don't know if they still do that for TV. I doubt
not anymore. Like, I'll be honest, we did. When I moved out to LA, 06, 07, and my first job was for music supervision and soundtrack company. So I know exactly what goes into this. And we were still doing it for Degrassi. We had done some TV shows, but it was mostly movies. Last project we worked on that I remember was, Rock Me Sexy Jesus.
Hamlet 2?
Hamlet 2.
It's starring you.
Yes. So.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't. I mean, again, I don't watch enough TV now. But I remember that was also a sticking point for all those shows when streaming came around. That music they couldn't. They a lot. The people in your positions did not. I don't know. I don't want to say you didn't have the foresight because how could you have known? But they were those. Musical licensing deals were not set up for streaming because nobody really knew that streaming was coming.
Right.
Obviously,
for Dawson's Creek, that was an issue for a hot second.
Honestly, you songs of there are well-known theme songs, obviously, yes. But when you think of that era, especially when you think of a well-known theme song that was not written for the show, that was a real song.
Oh,
I don't want to wait. You immediately think of Dawson's Creek.
Yes.
OC, you immediately think of California, which was a song before the show came out. I know that because I used to go see Phantom Planet before the show came out, and that they played that song. Like you don't see that as much anymore because theme songs have kind of gone away. Like what little TV I still watch, shows don't really do themes anymore.
I mean, not the same way that they used to. There wasn't like the Friends kind of like where that.
No, that was another one.
That was a big hit.
The Rembrandts. I actually own the Rembrandt. The Rembrandts released their own album that obviously I Will Remember You was on. But they had a number of other songs. None of them good. Like they would very much be on the One Hit Wonders channel. You know, I feel like a lot of shows now just use instrumental.
Oh, Wonder
you know, like,
Years.
I mean, obviously.
That's a
Wonder Years is the I can't think of the phrasing. It's the that is I mean that shows that was never released on DVD or streaming because of the licensing issues. They could not license any of that because it was so difficult. So you cannot find Wonder Years anywhere. I don't know if it was ever released. It was never released on DVD. I don't think. Maybe it was eventually. But they had all kinds of licensing issues over the years.
Well, music was a huge thing of that time, and like not all the bands were for it. It's just funny when you say this. I'm like, I just was like, what are the songs that made it to the charts? And it's a lot of like the older stuff. But we had a phase there in the like early '90s, late '80s, early '90s with things like Wonder Years, and I'm trying to think of what was it? Corky.
Life Goes On. Yeah, Obladi Oblada. Which that one is shocking because the Beatles catalog is notoriously difficult because it's so expensive. It's not that the Beatles or was Apple Records their label. I'm sure Apple Records has since been morphed into one of the big labels. I don't know. But you know, Apple Records was famous for the Beatles. That music was extremely hard to license. Wasn't that the one that famously Michael Jackson owned?
Yes, I believe so. Michael Jackson. So
yeah, he had a huge falling out with Paul McCartney because of it.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a big get at the time because their music was so hard to license, and they got Obladi Oblada. But yeah, and there were other shows that had music that was written like a theme song that was written for, like, I'll Be There for You, I don't believe was written for Friends, obviously, because the Rembrandts released it separately, but I don't think it was. But there have been shows where a song was written for the show that also became a single. Oh. Like, it was not, you know, it was not like a single beforehand. Like the the Big Bang Theory theme song. Mm. It's the Bare Naked Ladies, and they wrote it for the show. But they I saw Bare Naked Ladies at the Hollywood Bowl when I was still in LA. They played it.
Yeah.
They played it as the full version. There is a full version. The show only uses 40 seconds of it. But they made a full version of the song. But even they acknowledge, yeah, we wrote it for the show. This was not a song.
Boss of Me, that the Malcolm in the Middle by They Might Be Giants. Oh, yeah,
Giants. You're not the Boss of Me. Yeah.
And then, what was it? Oh, 07, Save Me, Smallville.
That was Smallville. Remy Zero. Remy Zero is a great band.
Yeah.
I love that band.
Thank you for the quick correction. Yeah,
Scrubs had this song, Superman. The song was called Superman. We always wax so nostalgic and we think that our era the shows were the best. But yeah, I just don't. You just don't see that as much anymore. Like Felicity. Felicity had its own theme song that J.J. Abrams wrote. He wrote the theme, the Felicity theme.
Searching My Soul. It was on this list that I was looking at. So it's kind of funny. There, I was looking at songs that had charted, theme songs that had charted. So it's just interesting. It was like a lot of the older stuff, like Cheers and MASH, or not even MASH, it was a Magnum PI, things like
the MASH one was a real song. Mm-hmm. but the show, it was a song with lyrics. The movie used the song with the lyrics in it. The show used only the instrumental version, mostly because the lyrics were super depressing. The theme song to MASH, the song is called Suicide is Painless.
Yeah.
And I don't think a TV network would, I don't think ABC, I believe that show was on ABC. ABC is not in the late 70s, early 80s, is not playing a song called Suicide is Painless. But the movie MASH used it.
Mm.
There are some older songs that, you know, I mean, theme songs, God, I think we can agree that the 80s into 90s was that was like the high mark of TV theme songs. Those ones that were written for the show, like Family Ties, Growing Pains.
It wasn't Growing Pains.
Facts of Life,
yeah.
I think Alan Thicke wrote Facts of Life. I don't know if he wrote the Growing Pains one.
I think he did write the Growing Pains one.
Wouldn't surprise me. Small Wonder, like all those okay, you know, one of my all-time favorite theme songs from an 80s show was a real song, was Mr. Belvedere.
Mm.
Remember the Mr. Yes. West, what was the I can think of how it goes, I can't think of the words. That was a real song by Basil Rathbone. But it's, yeah,
it's just one of those things.
Just walking down memory lane.
It's just a weird nostalgia trip that we just went on there. And it's like,
and it all started with One Hit Wonders.
No, it goes that way. I would tell you right now, probably one of the biggest hits TV introduction wise for anyone our age would be Bluey's theme, for anyone who has children at a certain age.
I have heard that. I've heard of Bluey just because of all the friends we have with kids.
Yeah.
I don't know anything. It's a dog, right?
It's a family of dogs from Australia. Okay. And,
see, I know Paw Patrol. I just don't. No, I've like, heard
I'll,
of Bluey.
I'll be honest with you. Bluey is just. I've watched it now. Even the youngest one was like, kind of got a later into it because they're like 8 minutes, so she can watch it and just like the attention's there.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So it's not like you're like you go, but I'm like, the writing of this show is next level.
In a very good way.
Just okay. In like for the adults who watch the show with their children. You see these memes pop up and, you know, the person's like, oh, the kid's gone. I've been watching this show since they left, kind of thing. Yeah. It does catch you. And it's just like, because they are quick, it's like, oh, I was like, and the new season, the fourth season's coming out soon. So you know, it's just, it's a well done show. I'm very, there's an interview that I think they were with, the SNL one, Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was starting to watch that, but then it became dinner time and I was like, I kind of want to watch it. Cause I'm like, they're just normal Aussies who have, you know, hit the nail on the head when it comes to children programming. So,
I mean, just, we had, we had our Aussies. We had the Teletubbies. Wasn't that Australian?
Oh, I don't even know what it was. It was satanic.
No, it wasn't it was the Wiggles. The Wiggles were the Australians.
Oh.
Do you remember the Wiggles?
No, I do not. I think.
Okay. Well, that was before our time of having of people having kids, but I remember them as a kids programming thing.
I'm looking at the way. Oh, they're all different color, kind of shirt things. Yeah.
The Wiggles were. Yeah.
I don't know.
And if you want to go farther back for us, we had. You remember Raffy?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
like
I went.
Raffy was the big one.
Raffy was my first concert.
Yeah. Yep. Nice.
So.
Mine was Rush. A little bit different.
Okay, a little jealous, to be honest with you.
A little bit different, yeah. Rush with opening act Primus.
Oh,
odd coupling.
That is it.
Odd coupling until you think about how they're both trios led by a bassist, which is very unusual. I was going to say something, but now I've already forgotten. We were talking about music.
Well, we were talking about Australians and their things.
Are you familiar with JoJo Siwa?
Oddly enough, yes, I am familiar with her. I don't know. I know she's like a musician, kid star type thing fame.
She started. So she's kind of been in the news lately because she's been like trying to this new music persona where she's trying to go like bad girl image.
Right.
So she started off on the show Dance Moms. Remember that show back in the day?
Yes, I remember hearing that one, yes.
So she was like a young, and then she became a huge, like, YouTube. Not, I think this was pre-TikTok, so it was like she got started really on YouTube. And, you know, she was known for this super colorful personality where she'd, like, have these bright colors. It was very much directed
towards ponytail.
Kids.
She had the
top off to the side ponytail. Her whole look was very like almost like Rainbow Bright. If you remember Rainbow Bright,
Who doesn't remember Rainbow?
And she made these like super like cheesy pop music, very geared toward younger folks, the Gen Zers. But it was like the Gen Zers when they were younger,
right?
And you know, it was one of those things that obviously we were all too old for. So I didn't know her music, but I knew who she was. I knew she was killing it online, like millions upon millions of followers.
Yes.
Huge.
Yes.
Even though I don't know any of her music, I know absolutely who she was. But now she's trying to do this kind of career makeover where she's going for to become. She's in like her bad era.
Yes.
But people are having a very mixed reaction to it. Like she has this new song out called Karma. And she's sort of trying to lean into this bad girl thing, which given how she started, you know, a lot of people go through these phases where they go from like good girl to bad, you know, or like good. It's like they're trying to get this adult persona where they go bad. But with JoJo's, it's over the top. Like she went from these colorful pastel-y, you know, colors to now she's black and she's
dressed
wearing
up
this
like kiss makeup. Her, ish.
Yeah, she's wearing her new like her new aesthetic is very Gene Simmons Kiss, where she's wearing these like theatrical black outfits. She did an award show red carpet recently where she you know premiered this new look of hers that it's heavy face makeup, heavy eye makeup, very reminiscent of Gene like to the point it like not just Kiss in general, but Gene Simmons specific, like her eye black is like in the same shape as Gene Simmons, to the point where Gene Simmons was actually asked about it. TMZ got him out and about and asked him how he felt about JoJo like stealing his look. And he was very cool about it. He's like, oh, you know, all the best to her. He's like, she can have it.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't like threatening legal action or upset by it. He knew who she was. And he's like, that's great. I hope the best for her. But it's like, it's such a big shift that it's like almost too much too fast. So people are making fun of her.
Mm-hmm.
And her, She also said this pivot she's doing where she a few years ago she came out. I don't recall if she came out as bisexual or full, you know, straight lesbian. She dates women now, but I don't know if she considers herself bisexual.
I think she came out as full. I remember it being a big deal,
It was a big deal, but I think I was honestly surprised it wasn't a bigger deal. You didn't see a lot of parents clutching their pearls, like making their kids stop watch her. Maybe I could be misremembering, but it didn't seem like it hurt her career negatively too much. I think a lot of it because kids are growing up and it's a different world.
Yeah.
I can't speak for how parents these days, you know, feel about things like that.
I think it depends on the parent. I think it depends on which side of the fence they land on, kind of thing.
Definitely. But the one thing that really she said recently that caught people's attention and made her the butt of many jokes is that she claims she's inventing a new genre of music called gay pop music. The gay pop world has
Madonna might have something to say about that. Oh, of course you froze again.
A lot of shade and side eye.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I was saying it's like, you know, Village People.
There was a Village People. Liberace wasn't exactly making gay pop music,
Barbara Streisand. I mean, come on.
Madonna, Madonna, you don't have be gay to make gay pop music. George Michael. So people get it, but the one that really was funny, it was a very funny video. I don't recall if it's TikTok or somewhere else, but Tegan and Sarah, they're a lesbian, they're sisters, they're twin sisters who are both lesbians and who are very famous. The genre of being gay pop, they don't claim to have invented it, but they're very famous for the gay pop genre because they are twin sisters who are lesbians,
right?
Leaned into the gay pop culture. And they released a very funny video of JoJo saying that, and them, you know, it's like that split screen that people like to do where you send them to me all the time. It's like a reaction video,
right,
where the person posting it is like watching a video of something else and they're just reacting to it. And Tegan and Sarah posted one of JoJo like saying that, and the Tegan and Sarah are both just staring into the camera and they both cock their heads with this look of what you invented what now. So it's been a very strange reaction, but you know, good on her. I wish her the best.
I think she's doing just fine on her own for the most part.
I think she'll be just fine. It's not music catered to me. It's not music marketed to me. I'm sure. I love me some cheesy pop music. So if she's gonna release bangers, I'm here for it. But otherwise, I don't really know.
At this point in time, I just don't. I was looking at some job. I was going through Indeed. And I was like, there was something that popped up where I was like, that's interesting. And to me, like, must know, famous things. So it's like, whatever, must be up to date on pop culture. And I go, which pop culture these days? Because it's gotten to the point where there is just elements of, oh, this person's famous, but they're famous within this realm of a thing. That you, if you don't know about it, you're not, like, whether it's TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. I mean, is there famous Twitter people still? Like, is that still a thing? I mean, or is it, you know, it's just kind of like...
Yeah, I feel like there is. You're right. I hate using the term segregated because that has an obvious connotation. But you're right. There's not just straight pop culture. I mean, there's still some iconic pop culture people that go across multiple genres and multiple age groups, like a Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift has fans who are as young as my niece Billy, and as old as
grandparent.
Octogenarians.
Yeah.
And she seems to go across lines of genre, of age, of I don't know if I'd quite go other, you know, I don't know if her cultural, it's not, I think she goes across race, but not as much. But she, you know, it's she appeals to a great many people, is what I'm saying. But there are, you're right, there aren't that many people that are that across the board. They're very specific YouTube, like a, you know, like a Jake and Logan Paul have a fan base, and they're huge in their own right. But then you have like a JoJo Siwa has a fan base. A lot of the Venn diagrams of a lot of these fan bases are not intersecting.
No.
You know, so yeah, so you're absolutely right. Like, just saying general pop culture doesn't really mean anything anymore.
Well, it's like this. It's when you say someone like JoJo Siwa, and I'm like, I know who that is. I'm like, enough. Where it's like the name's popped up throughout time in the last 10 years or so, like, where I'm like, okay, I do, like, what they do, I don't know. It's like the Logan and Jake Pauls, and like, I know what they are now. Before, I'm like, they were YouTubers, but I'm like, they're useless humans. I mean, outside of like putting on live event things now, I mean, Logan Paul's wrestling, he seems to be doing well on that.
Yeah,
it's actually
like
quite working out for him.
Yeah.
And then Jake is boxing and it's just like, okay. But I honestly, it's like the Kardashians. Like, the Kardashians are like the glamorous version of what YouTube is.
Yeah.
Like, of like, if you do the hierarchy, it's like people want to be the Kardashians. It's like, that's what society has said. Make your, get your makeup line, get your whatever, get your billions of whatever your company's worth, and then, you know, don't worry about it.
And it's such a, it's such like an old person yelling at clouds thing. The whole famous people being, getting famous for
nothing.
Yeah, they're famous for being famous. They're, it's like a circle where we don't know why they were famous in the first place. You know, it's not like a, you know, like a musical act, an actor, a you know, whatever, they're an athlete. They're famous for a reason because of the thing that they do. But then,
what is it exactly that they do? And like the Kardashians are the greatest example of what are they? Why are they? And it, you know, because at one point it was Paris Hilton and Kim was her assistant.
Yeah.
At one point. Yeah. And it's like, and Paris Hilton was only famous because of her grandparents. And, you know, it's.
Well, even then, it wasn't even like. You know, there's a lot of heirs and heiresses that are not famous despite their big names. Yeah, it's like the Kardashians are with a Kardashian Jenners are absolutely without a doubt some of the most famous people in the world. But nobody can. But at the same time, if you ask most people, well, how did they get famous? Most people are like, I don't know. It's like a dog chasing its tail. Well, I don't know how they got famous. They're just famous.
We know how the name started. Like, there's no really, like, and I'm not even going to the father, like, because he had passed on way before that. And Jenner was famous in his own right, or her own right at that time. Yeah. Bruce,
that one's, is. The Caitlyn Jenner one is when you just, what you like, what you just did, and what a lot of people do is it's, you know, misgendering in the trans community obviously is a very big problem, very big deal. But it's real tough with somebody like that who was so famous. You know, like I don't know the answer to this, but I'm very curious.
I would say, like, this as Bruce Jenner, like you can separate Bruce and Caitlyn, like in the sense that when it was Bruce in the 70s, Bruce, like the Catholic Bruce. And then there is
but you hate, you know, it's, you hate to dead name somebody or misgender somebody like that, like a trans in the trans community. But the thing with Kate, I'll still say Caitlyn, but is that Caitlyn herself acknowledged it. Like a lot of people, a lot of members of the transgender community do not want you in any way to, like, Elliot Page wants nobody to reference, you know, the
former,
you know,
Page.
what he did before. Yeah. Right. What he did before. Whereas Caitlyn openly says, no, Caitlyn talks about Bruce.
Right.
In the first person. And actually it's weird. She talks about Bruce in the third person. But she has flat out said, I'm not insulted if you say the name Bruce Jenner, because we know, like, Caitlyn talks about it like it's a different person, but acknowledges that person exists.
Right.
You know?
But that's my point. I get what Elliot Page is going for, and I'm like, if they want to say I don't want to hear it. I respect that. If the other says, Caitlyn Jenner says it's okay, it's like, okay, it's, once again, it's up to that person to
say. It's a person-to-person thing, just like pronouns. It's a it's totally up to the person. If they give us permission, so to speak, then, you know.
I was just going off a historical point. It's like, well, Bruce Jenner, and wasn't being like Bruce Jenner, like Caitlyn as Bruce was famous, and then Caitlyn didn't make Kim, Kylie, Kendall, them, like he was done, or they were done.
Well, yeah, no, you're right. That the Kardashian name became well known and synonymous with Robert with the OJ trial, but not a level of fame that would make the kids
household names.
Yeah, iconic or anything, nothing like that. And even Kim working as Paris's assistant didn't get her out there. You know, that didn't make her a household name necessarily. The sex tape went far. That's why a lot of people accuse Kris Jenner of being behind the sex tape. Hell, that's what helped with Paris Hilton.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that helped. It definitely did things. Help, I don't know if that was the word. I think she was taking advantage of that one.
Which one?
Paris. I think
Kim
went into it knowing a bit more.
Yeah, because they had like a template for what that did for Paris. Now how much Paris had to do with it, obviously nobody knows. But I feel like the Kardashians had a lot more to do with the marketing of Kim's. But yeah, you know, like famous for being famous is just it's a thing we have now. And there were examples of it before. Like iconic names from the 50s and 60s that were famous for just kind of like there were Kim Kardashians and Paris Hiltons before. Like you look at somebody like a Jane Mansfield, Mariska Hargitay's mom, Jane Mansfield, not really an actress. She was kind of just famous for being like a, you know, they used to use the term bombshell, like a blonde bombshell. So she was famous for being famous, not for anything in particular she did. She didn't really have an acting resume. You know, Marilyn Monroe was an actress at least, but she became famous before she was an actress. I mean, she was a playmate, so that was something. But yeah, you know, I don't even know where I was going with that.
None of us know where we're going. We're in celebrity sex tape territory right now. So
it's true. It's true. Total pivot, a complete 180, just because I didn't get the off ramp because we were talking about before. Did you watch WrestleMania?
I did watch WrestleMania.
I say that because of Logan, I believe he
did win.
Again. He kept his belt, right? Retained his belt.
U.S. title, yes.
I saw, as always, I have not watched any of the pay-per-views since I used to watch them with you, but I follow them because most of my Twitter timeline is flooded with you know, on the night or the weekend in this case, since WrestleMania is now two nights, I get flooded. The timeline gets flooded with enough videos and clips that I know what's going on, despite the fact that I don't necessarily know all the wrestlers. I recognize a ton of the names, obviously.
Right.
But
a few, but you know, just kind of like over your head at this point.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, they're like, it's certainly when it comes to the women, you know, I know Charlotte, Flair's and
Becky Lynch,
the bigger
probably
name.
Know
Becky Lynch and the bigger names, but you know, a lot of like the SmackDown and Raw stars that are, or the NXT, you know, like I don't necessarily know those names,
right?
But you know, I mean, it certainly, it looks like they, you know, in typical WrestleMania fashion, they Triple H threw, I was gonna say Vince, but not, I mean, who knows what Vince is.
The big thing of this is WrestleMania 40. They're like, this is the Triple H era. They plugged it as like Vince McMahon is no longer a thing, which shockingly, not shockingly, is probably about the right move to make. I mean, even Stephanie McMahon came out for day two, which she has not. She left the company after her father came back, after he did like a hostile takeover, or essentially he held the board up while she was co-CEO of the company.
And she was like CFO or something. Didn't she have a different title?
No, she was CEO, co-CEO.
Okay.
Triple H is the COO, or now he's like, he heads up development, and not development, he's just the guy who does everything now. Like, he runs the storytelling and everything else like that. So it's been working better, I think. I don't know that they've made the deal with Netflix. That'll Monday Night Raw will be on Netflix. So
okay,
that's off USA. Big deal for Netflix, I have a feeling. So if they want to keep their subscribers, which I think is going to be just fine. So,
and it seemed like in typical WrestleMania fashion, they just threw everything. You know, there was just cameo after cameo of like big returns, surprise. You know, they do that for WrestleMania. They do that for a lot of the pay-per-views, but it just seems especially they go big for WrestleMania.
Right.
You know, like like Undertaker popping up, which I seem to have like a kind of a mixed reaction to it. You know, there were the people that obviously, you know, Undertaker showed up during the Rock. Was it Rock?
No, it was the Cody Rhodes versus Roman
Reigns.
Oh,
right. Because there was the bloodline rule. So yep. The Rock took. Yes. Yeah. And I mean, God, is there anybody in any sort of professional anything that has like a theme song or some sort of notable, wrestling is usually the one that has, I mean, getting back to theme songs, but like something, a song or something that as soon as it's, you know, wrestling's just famous for, oh, it's my iconic. God, somebody, you know,
here, no.
Yeah, like an iconic. Yeah. And the Undertaker's is a gong. Single gong. Yeah. It is a gong. And so, and when The Rock is standing in the ring and you hear that, now that there was, I kept seeing that clip over and over again of Undertaker. And I don't know if they did it incorrectly or if they meant to do it this way, but the thing that I was watching for, and I'm not going to try to act like I should be producing wrestling, but they did the thing where The Rock was standing in the ring and there was the gong while the lights were still on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lights shut off and there was another gong. I wish they would have shut the lights off first and then the gong. So then it really would have come out of nowhere. But maybe it's entirely possible they did that as a safety issue because they didn't want to shut the lights off immediately. But that gong, and then the crowd just went insane. And then the lights pop back on and he's standing behind The Rock. And I don't know if that was just looking at them side by side, if that was, I know Taker's a large man, but he towered over The Rock. So I don't know if that's an issue of The Rock being shorter than you expect or Undertaker being taller than you expect.
I think the Undertaker's taller than you expect. You don't realize that he was a college basketball player. And I think he's about 6'10", I believe.
He certainly looked it, but I know The Rock is also not as tall as you expect him to be. Because I've seen him, that photo that like is very funny of him, The Rock standing between Shaq and, is it Barkley?
No, it was Yao Ming.
Yao Ming, you're right, yeah. And he just, ridiculously small. Now everybody is ridiculously small next to those two. But yeah, but I saw like a mixed reaction online to it, because a lot of the true diehard wrestling fans thought that the Undertaker showing up within that didn't make sense there story wise. It with The Rock, like, because The Rock and Undertaker had no beef really. I saw a lot of people saying it should have been Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That's what I thought it was going to be, but I was like,
okay. evidently they had to, somebody even had to address it. I guess they Stone Cold couldn't do it or something like that, but it's still the Undertaker so associated with WrestleMania. But they also did the cool thing with Jason Kelsey, mm-hmm. because of it being in Philly.
And it was another lineman,
Lynch Johnson, who's also with the Eagles. And Jason Kelsey just has that personality that I think The Miz was said, like, The Miz was caught like a on camera thing with like TMZ or something. And The Miz is like, this before this was like, oh, Jason Kelsey absolutely has a future in wrestling.
Yeah. He has
that over the top personality. He has, the size.
He's still young-ish. You know, just,
I mean, not by football standards, but
wrestling standards. Yeah. Like 35 is like, you don't want to be coming in, but it's like he'll be. I mean, Robert Gronkowski was supposed to be. He was signed with WWE.
He was doing it for a little while, right?
He signed with them, and then he went back to Tampa Bay, That's what happened.
Oh,
okay. So
that's right.
He won the 24/7 title at at one of the WrestleManias.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
So,
but you know, I mean, it looked cool. It's not something I would pay for, but
well, you do pay for it because you got Peacock.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess I could have watched it.
I mean, nothing's stopping you from watching a Royal Rumble here and there.
Well, you know, I don't watch anything, so that's not even like that's not a knock against wrestling. It's just I didn't watch, like, I had the NCAA game, not the men's, the men. You're gonna lose me. I don't care who was. I mean, I didn't care who was playing the men's game, regardless. UConn, no. Purdue, I didn't care. But you're not. I don't care what team. You could put the two greatest teams of all time. I'm not watching it at 9 o'clock on a Monday night.
Unless it's UCLA.
I don't know if I'd even make it for UCLA, to be honest. Wow. That's late for me. That is late.
I'm not arguing that.
But the women's game being at 3 o'clock on a Sunday was perfect. And it was interesting. Like, that is a sporting event I watched because that was just an interesting, you know, Caitlin Clark seems to transcend. But most sporting events I'll put on in the background, not pay attention. And I feel like you can't really do that with wrestling.
I can kind of. It's just, I do it. I'm like, I can do other things and just be like, pop my head and see where the match is. And just kind of like, because it's storytelling, you know?
Yeah.
If you know a little bit about who's doing what, it's easy enough to pick up, you know, things. I was I was changing the bed, and I, you know, I was like, oh, do you care if I watch this? It was like, you know, it was the last two matches essentially I was able to catch. So I did catch like the Bayley versus Io Sky, and which was a good match. And like, I knew it was going to be shenanigans up the wazoo, and then what was it? Roman versus Cody, and then everyone kind of sat down and watched it with me at the foot of the bed for bits of time. So I was like, and I was being made fun of. I'm like, I get it. It's silly. I'm like, I'm not knocking it. I'm like, yeah, it's predetermined. It's everything else like this. It's just like, I get entertained by it. I'm not forcing it down anyone's throat to watch. So,
I mean, hell, as much as I loathe the brothers, and I loathe the other one more than Logan. I loathe Jake, but it's very impressive. I mean, you cannot
he's an entertainer. He's very good at it. Like,
and Jake with the boxing has not really impressed me much because he doesn't fight anybody.
No,
the one actual boxer he fought, Tommy Fury, Tyson's little brother, he lost.
Yeah,
and the rest of the people he fights are either retired MMA boxers, fighters, or other influencers. This Tyson thing is going to be weird because it's an exhibition. So people are like, is Tyson just going to let it, you know,
it's a payday for
him. I truly hope. And a lot of people I think are also holding out hope that even if it's a predetermined exhibition fight, we're hoping that Tyson still has that glimmer of competitiveness, that he won't take a fall, or he won't see Floyd Mayweather when he boxed Logan. Floyd clearly could have won that within 30 seconds, but he let it continue because Floyd is a showman who knows the money is in letting it continue. Mike Tyson still has I bet he still has that dog in him cannot give a fight up. So I feel like Tyson's going to come out trying to win. I'm hoping. But Logan, I mean, Logan, to get into wrestling, to that level of athleticism, it's impressive. You know, and it seems like the wrestling community's accepted him fairly fast. It doesn't seem like he's...
It took a bit. I think it was quicker than what The Miz got. The Miz was, like, blackballed by the locker room for longer. I don't know if that's the case for Logan, but everyone's kind of, like, just said, we might hate him, but the kid can work, like... It's kind of like that thing. It's like, he's not original. He's not doing anything. Like, all his move sets are stolen or copied from someone else. But he does it very well.
I'm sure it takes time to build up.
Well, his finisher is a brass knuckle. Like, he uses brass knuckles. Like, the brass knuckle thing is, I think, is hilarious. It's a great throwback to the back in the day kind of thing. But it's like, I'm like, it's to the point now where I'm like, it's just ridiculous. I'm like, he's got to come up with something other than Brass Knuckles eventually. So,
well, hell, even, I mean, Rock's People's Elbow, that's not a, that, oh, that was a joke move. They've been doing the elbow since the dawn of wrestling.
Yeah, but it wasn't the most electrifying elbow.
Did Hulk have a finishing move?
Yeah, leg drop.
Oh, okay. Big, oh, that's
to
right.
Leg drop.
See, I feel like the finishing move that I, again, I'm doing the old man back in my day, but the 80s wrestlers had, I mean, that was, oh, those were finishing moves were so over the top. Like Brutus, my all-time favorite, Brutus the Barber Beefcake with the sleeper, and then he'd cut their hair with the scissors.
Yeah.
I can't recall what Jake the Snake's
DDT.
Was. DDT, that's right.
Which is now just a common move, but it was like,
yeah, like they all had like their, and then he'd let the
snake out of the bag.
I think it was it Greg the Hammer Valentine was the figure four leg. He lock. Did that. Like they all had
probably listing off another one.
Oh, I was saying, I know Randy Orton has the
RKO. He also had the boot RKO. To the face. I forget what it was called.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, the 80s wrestlers were like, if you go back and watch one of those matches, you're like, oh, that's boring. It's a bit boring. It's very slow paced. They couldn't move, and now it's like they're jumping around doing flips and whatever these days. So
and they never, what was the name for, what is the name for like a no name wrestler that's a in jobber. There just to jobber, right? Like back when I remember watching like the wrestling back in the 80s, it was always, unless it was a WrestleMania, it was always like the Hulk fighting a nobody.
Yeah.
A nobody that would just be wearing like the regular, not a singlet. What is the?
Just trunks.
What is the trunks? Yeah. Like had known, usually had their regular name, did not even have like a nickname or a persona. And that's because it was like, you knew who was going to win.
Yeah.
But I feel like they don't even do that anymore. Like when I was watching Raw and SmackDown with you, they'd get the big names still wrestling each other just on like a Monday night show. You know, it doesn't feel like they have jobbers anymore.
Yeah, it's just like they do have jobbers from time to time. They're not; it's not very common. It's usually they'll bring people in like jobbers, like local talent, as they say.
Or like house shows.
Not from house shows. No, for like televised things, if they're bringing in a new character, and it's just to show how dominant they can be, they're just called squash matches now. And so that's like quick 1-2-3 type thing. It's like they did it with Braun Strowman. I don't know if you remember that name. Not that anyone who's listening to this show knows what we're talking about. I think he's just a very large man. So
yes, he was. Speaking of him, did they do anything for Bray Wyatt?
They released a documentary about him. I started watching it last night. I got about 3/4 of the way done before I was like, I need to go to bed. It's sad. It's a very sad situation.
Yeah, because his was just a heart attack, wasn't it?
It was a little bit more than that. It was technically a heart attack, but it had a little bit to do with COVID. His heart never really quite got back to normal, and he had missed something where he needed a treatment, and then it went sideways, and he passed at a very, I think he was like maybe 40s, late 30s, early 40s.
I think it was 30s, I believe. Like he was, I remember him. I remember looking it up at some point and it being him being younger than I thought.
When he died.
Yeah. I mean, so many wrestlers of like the 80s and pre died young, but that was usually almost always heart issues from steroids, of some kind or drugs of some kind. But you don't see that much anymore. So like somebody dying that in the 80s, if a wrestler died at 36 from heart issues, you'd be like, no, that's not terribly surprising.
I mean,
but now it is, because I mean, I don't know if steroids are still in the sport, but it seems like they've
they're still there. They're not, it's not as dominant as it was in the 80s, like back in those days. The funny thing is Jonathan Huber, who played Luke Harper, he was one of also passed during in 2020. Yeah. He had an issue, something to do with a lung and filling, and he passed out of nowhere. Like it was sudden. Once again, those people really, those two, and I'm like, they're Luke was my age, 79, so
end you're of, 79 years old.
No, on the end of 79. Yes. But it's just, it's one of those things. It's like, yeah, wrestling's synonymous with dying young, but not, you know, then you have like people like Ric Flair, who's somehow still around after having like near death, and Hulk
he's
Hogan.
Reached, well, okay, knock on wood. We don't want to, you know how this show works, but, the Ric Flair is, he's reached the Keith Richards, like past that point of the, they're just,
yeah, but you see the videos of Keith Richards still dancing at 80. Like, you know, he's still doing it.
That's true.
And he had a heart attack too. So we went into an odd space there with wrestling, to be honest with you.
That's my fault.
No, it's fine.
My fault.
And on that note, we're going to get out of here. No, whatever. I actually, you know, it was a fun show. Wrestling is fun.
It is.
It's not as, you know, it's a lot better than it used to be. Like, there's not as, like, there was an issue with the PG era for a while. Like, they've kind of toned everything down. Obviously, when we were kids, it was like women were naked, pretty much. And now it's like, the women actually wrestle, and they're very good at it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we go. Yeah, that's about it.